to a Burst of Hope podcast with your co-hosts, Kim Stanley and Martha Wilson. Who couldn't use a little hope, encouragement, and inspiration? Tune in every week as we share heart-to-heart conversation with other hope seekers. Join us at the table for real talk that will meet you right where you are. So go ahead, press pause on worry, overwhelm, and crazy, and breathe in God of Hope. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of A Burst of Hope. It's a new week here. In fact, this is a very special week. Martha and I are celebrating along with you Holy Week and following the steps of Christ in the last week of his life here on earth. And we thought we might just do something a little different this week, a little more subdued maybe. We're taking a selah, a pause, a call to remember those special days leading up to Christ's crucifixion and, of course, the resurrection. And we just want to provide that place for you, but it's also for us to really look at what Jesus has done for us and what's our part in that, and how can we really be intentional about leaning in and experiencing and remembering, as he's called us to remember and to proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Yes.
It's a special week, isn't it, Martha?
It is. And Kim, thanks for your words. I love it because it really is a week of pausing and remembering. Mm-hmm. And this morning, you know, as I was thinking and praying about our time together, it was almost like, hush, be quiet.
Yeah.
It wasn't don't do a podcast, mm-hmm. but it was hush. Sometimes the music is just too loud.
Yeah.
And the busyness is just raging around that it's hard to find the moment. I think we said in last week's podcast, I remember saying, you know, sometimes even my quiet times are so loud and busy because there's so many wonderful things to put around it. And if we're not careful, that will happen in this Holy Week.
Yeah.
It will just be another week that we know Sunday's coming, but that our dailiness will just take over. And so I will hope that today's episode would be for all of us like pressing the pause button, literally, to remember. And, you know, as I was looking into a book I was drawn to this morning, it's called Comforts from the Cross, and it's by Elise Fitzpatrick. And the subtitle is Celebrating the Gospel One Day at a Time. And I was drawn to the book this morning because I knew it was about the cross. I have not read it in several years, but I thumbed through the chapters, and the first one that caught my attention was The Hope of Glory, and that whole chapter was about Colossians 1:27, the verse that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
And that's our theme this week. He is our hope, and this all of these episodes that we have, and they're all focused on, you know, hope bursting forth. No matter what our story is, what's going on, that hope comes forth. Well, it all comes, we know, from Christ's life in us. And then as I thumbed on through the book, I thought, let me just start at chapter one, and it is Celebrate Jesus. And that chapter kind of, it's not even the content of what is in the chapter as much as just what God used to draw my focus for us today, that this is the week to celebrate Jesus and what he has done. You know, we are taking a deep dive on the attributes of God, and every attribute that is true of God is true of Jesus, true of Holy Spirit. And this week, as we are celebrating, you know, that God gave his only son for us, and we get to remember his life. We get to remember his walk here on earth. We get to remember his journeying up to the cross. And, you know, we talked about it. I don't think our listeners really need us to recall all the details of what happened on which day. That's a wonderful pause and remember to do. But I just believe that our desire today is to cause our hearts to want to celebrate Jesus. So that's what we are hoping today, today.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
So as the chapters gathers around the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, and the focus is really brought around celebrating communion. Mm. And, you know, why do we celebrate communion? What is it? And a lot just started stirring within me that I'd like for us to have conversation around that. And
yes, I think let's do that.
The best place to start, though, is like, would you read that scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26?
I would love to. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"
Beautiful.
It is.
And we recall, you know, that Jesus, that's right there serving the disciples, and his last days on earth with them, and his last actions with them. And then he gives us, he sets in place for us to continue to do this, and to always do it in remembrance of him.
Yeah, he sets... I mean, it says I think in one of the Gospels, it says he'd been anticipating this night with them. And so in Jesus' mind, he's been planning this special night to be with these friends, people he's lived with, slept with, worked with, ate with for 3 years, because he knew this was going to be a special time for them. And he's going to, you know, he washed their feet, he instituted communion, the new covenant. These were his last words and last few precious hours, you know, with them. It's beautiful.
There were so many acts of love leading up to the cross. Of course, all of his life, but so many specific intentional acts of love. And those, when we reflect on them and we see how he loved, how he lived and how he loved, that's our pathway, likewise, to live in the same way.
I mean, talk about intentionality, you know. Jesus, Son of God, God himself, was very intentional about what he was going to do with his friends and his whole life, obviously. But
And it's interesting, too, we live on the other side of the cross and after the cross. And that this would take place with the disciples, and they didn't have full understanding of what this meant. But as we look back and we read these words right here in 1 Corinthians, and we read them, and we know that he was foretelling. I mean, he was prophesying what was to come in the days to come, and they could not grasp it. And there's so much... there's so much of God that we cannot grasp as we are looking into the attributes.
Yes,
we know we cannot grasp of him, but there is much that we can grasp through the Holy Spirit giving us understanding. And so they couldn't grasp him speaking and talking of them to them of the death that was to come, his burial, his resurrection, so far. And but we know, not only do we know through the Word of God, but history tells us that these things are true. That's what I love. Love when history proves the Word to be true.
Right, right.
And very clearly that we know that these things took place, and that they are, that this experience of communion, of sharing this meal together, is so important that all of these years later, that we as Christians, followers of Christ, still partake of communion. And we do what he instructed. Do this as often as you eat, as often as you drink. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember what he didn't say. He didn't say, remember what I'm about to do.
Right. They're right. Yeah.
Remember this, because he was putting in place that you're about to see this happen. Here's the picture. Here's, take my body, take my blood, but this is what is about to happen. But then once it happens, you're going to continue to remember me in this way. And it's such a physical way to pause and remember what he has done.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is a call to really just sit with that, you know. And we've all probably attended communion many times in our lives, and it can become, you know, it can become just part of the service, or it can be and lose its specialness. And this week especially, we want to lean in and really look at what Jesus said about communion. And you brought out some beautiful things that you experienced recently or in the last couple of years about communion. Yes. Would you share that?
Yes.
I love this.
I don't know about you, Kim, but I know that we grew up in different denominations, mm-hmm. but I, as a child, remember the passing of the heavy mm-hmm. trays. You know, when I don't remember my first communion mm-hmm. because that was, for me, that was after, you know, my accepting Christ, my salvation, my baptism, and my first few communions. I just remember the heavy mm-hmm. tray, and that I knew it was really special, and it took a long time, you know, for this to happen. And then as we progressed through the years in different churches, it became quicker, and it was, you know, it was really cool when the trays came out that had the juice and the crackers all in one tray. Mm-hmm. And then COVID brought us the wonderful portable communion, you know, the little to-go cups that you just, it's all in one. You just And no one has to pass it, you know, you just grab one.
Heaven
as you
forbid
in.
We have to touch someone and passing a communion.
That's right. We don't want that. So interesting. Almost 3 years ago now, and we were seeking our new church home, and I remember the church that we landed in, our present home, and my first communion there. And I felt like I was a little girl again in my little cotton mill town with the heavy trays slowly passing, you know, first the bread and everyone is served and then the juice, and it took so long. And Kim, I'm just honest, I had to fight the entire communion because I know my heart was to be right before the Lord to take communion, but I was so judging. I was like, why are they doing it this way? Why don't they know that they have trays now that you can do both at the same time? And okay, this is taking a really long time. I mean, it took me way back, you know, so many years ago. And then we got to the end of the service, and Pastor Josh stood and he said, some of you may be wondering why we serve communion the way that we do, but it's very intentional because in today's fast-paced world, I just think we need a reminder that we need to pause and we need to be still, and we need to take time to remember what it really means. And it's almost like back in time, go backwards in time intentionally to be still and know. And he brought out something else, that it was also about serving one another. And so we pause long enough to take time to pass the tray and serve and wait for everyone in the family to be served before we partake together. Okay, Kim, all of that goes against 2024.
Sure. Oh, it does.
And I don't care what denomination you're in, whether it's the passing of a tray or the going to the altar and being served or going to a table when your heart is ready to go, however you partake of communion, it is intentional that it takes time, that I can pause and I can think about, what does this cracker mean? Yeah. What does this cup mean? And hey, I'm going to wait while my brother and my sister are also served, and that they too can pause and remember.
Yeah. Wow. It reminds you that we're all family. We really are. Just like when you're having a big meal, we try to do that, where we wait for everybody to, you pass everything around. Here's the bowl, here's the green beans. You know, we wait for our family to get all of the food on the plate before we pray and then eat together. I love that because we want everything to go fast. We've turned into that, you know, turned into that instant. The faster it is, the better it is. Love that.
So I want to keep that in mind. And friends, I hope that, you know, just will encourage you this week and Holy Week that you pause and reflect and remember, and whether you are able to participate in a communion service, whether it be Good Friday or another service that you will participate in, the Easter weekend, that you will know that there's a reason for the pause. And, you know, what is it that we ponder while there's something about sitting there holding the cracker and the cup to think about what they represent. That's why he told us to remember. We need communion to cause us to remember.
You're right. And what are we supposed to remember? That God, Christ's body was crushed on the cross for us. And his blood, he shed every ounce of blood for us. And that blood is the new covenant, though, that allows us to be in him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we hold it, we feel it, we remember, we reflect, but we also take time, you know, to say, search me, O God.
Right. Yes.
Cleanse me and purify me. There's a pause that my heart is right before him before I partake. Your scripture is very clear about how we come to the table, how we partake, that we don't partake carelessly. And so even this week, as here we are on Monday morning, and we are into the week, Holy Week already, and then we have the week to prepare our hearts in participating when communion is served. Wherever we participate, then thank him. Thank him for his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And you know, there's something else about, I want to go back to another part of the way we take communion is serving one another. It's not just about me getting my sins forgiven and my burdens that Christ carried to the cross, but and my shame, but it's for my brothers and my sisters around me. And as even the passing of the communion or the partaking of the communion is happening, that I'm mindful of this great big body of Christ. And that I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for Christians everywhere. I think that was Paul's instruction. Pray for believers everywhere. That many who are suffering for the cause of Christ that we don't even have any comprehension of, Kim. And that we remember the big family of God. And we pray for unity. You know, God's had, my heart's been much on unity this morning. And that we do all things, if at all possible, be at peace with all people. And that we take time to love and make space for one another, to be where you are. You know, we look around, we want everybody to be where we are, to have progressed where we are, like we're where we're supposed to be. That we don't give grace for one another to intentionally make their way toward the cross.
Oh, that's good. You've given us a lot to think about, Martha. I love it. It's worthy of our time to pause and be still and ask Holy Spirit to bring to mind these things that he wants to reveal to us, to remind us of. They're so good in all of that from communion.
Two quotes that I'd like to add in before we close, Kim, is that from the book that I've already shared. It says, proclaim the gospel to yourself today and every day.
That's good.
And you know, that word was in the scripture that you read, that you may proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we are to proclaim the gospel to the world, but let's don't forget to proclaim it to ourselves.
Yes.
This week, let's tell ourselves what Christ did on our behalf.
Amen.
And rejoice and celebrate as if it is the first time we've heard the gospel proclaimed.
Amen.
And sometimes I need the fresh reminder, and I need new ways to celebrate, you know, Christ. I don't know how it was, how you grew up, you know. When I was a little girl, Easter was a big deal, and there was always a new dress, a new purse, and new shoes. Mm-hmm. And my parents taught me that it was a picture of spring, and it was a picture of new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. I got that. It wasn't about you have to dress up on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. No, it really was a picture, you know, of the new. And it was a way of celebrating new life. So how can we intentionally celebrate, you know, new life in Christ? Look for ways to celebrate it in your life this week.
That's kind of a fun, exciting thing. You know, ask God to give you a new way. That you could celebrate this with the people in your own house, even if it's just you or, you know, your family, your grandkids. And if you can't get to a service, you know, you can have communion, you and Jesus, right? And your husband or your kids, whoever's in your home. Yeah, I have a lot of good memories, too. It makes me think back on the way I grew up and just how slow and special this Holy Week was for me. And I do remember Good Friday being from 12 to 3, basically the whole town shut down, because those were represented the 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross. And we did have a church service.
Yes.
And my mom was pretty intentional about just telling us, hey, this is the same time Jesus was on the cross. We're just going to be a little quiet at home. I mean, it's not like we had to go to our rooms. We just were home. But then there was a service that we'd go to at church, and it was kind of long, and they would sort of a reader's theater of the Passion Week. And then I don't know that we had communion. I'm sure we did. But there was also a procession where we would go to the cross, and you could bow before the cross and, you know, just thank Jesus personally for what he did for you. And as a young child, that was kind of like, whoa. But I look back on that now and I think, wow, that was special, you know.
Yeah.
And we took time to feel and sense and lament Good Friday. Because we know Easter's coming, you know, our burst of hope. Hope burst forth from the grave on Easter Sunday. He is our hope. But he wants to, I think in the Holy Week, it's good to go through all the steps and just ask the Lord how he wants to reveal himself to you this week as we celebrate Jesus.
I love it, Kim. I like the memory that blows my mind that the town would shut down for 3 hours. But it was worth having a pause. And I like what you just said, too, that because Easter's coming, and we spoke earlier of how it was hard to, years ago, to leave a service, the Good Friday service, in silence, because we already know that he's not still in the grave. And so there's much to celebrate. There's much to have hope for today. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself today, what's going on, pause, remember, reflect. Celebrate that Jesus has come for you. Jesus has died for you. Jesus has paid the price for you. You don't have to pay it. He not only paid the price for our sin, he paid the price for shame, that I don't have to carry shame.
That's right.
And he went into that grave for us, and he gained victory for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he came alive, he was resurrected, and he ascended, and he sits at the right hand of the Father this very day. This Monday that you are sitting in today, he is at the right hand of the Father, and the Word tells us that he intercedes on your behalf, my friend. He is talking to God about you. He never forgets you. And you are always on his mind, and he is so worth us pausing to be sure that he is on our mind. Oh, Kim and I pray that it is a glorious week for you. And no matter the dark clouds, no matter what's swirling around you, proclaim the gospel to yourself and celebrate Jesus is alive.
Amen. Happy Easter.